Bible's the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and we'll share a message claiming the reward. And I want to share a message about the life of Caleb, and we can learn some very practical truths about the rewards that God has promised us and the victories that we can experience as we trust the Lord as our Savior, depend upon Him each and every day. Now, Joshua chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, and Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. And Lord, it's just been a blessing to be able to sing songs of praise and songs of patriotism, Lord. And we're just thankful for freedoms that we can enjoy because of the great nation in which we live. You know, the many opportunities that we have to work and support our families, Lord, to be able to worship our God, minister grace to others, Lord, to be able to launch out and go even around the world sharing the gospel of Christ. Lord, we praise you for all these opportunities and blessings that you have sent our way. I pray, Lord, we might learn some practical truths tonight about Caleb and certainly the reward that he was looking forward to receiving, and Lord, how he embraced that and how he enjoyed it, Lord, and how that blessing passed on down to his children. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. There may be somebody here not saved. We're always mindful of that, Lord. And so I pray if there is someone that needs to be born again, touch their heart, Lord, and bring them to faith in Christ, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text verse is verse 12. It says, Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. Claiming the reward. You know, Moses had brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And what a great victory they experienced as Moses would come and confront Pharaoh about letting the people of God go. And certainly we know the story as the plagues came upon Egypt, and finally the blood was shed and the blood was put on the doorposts and the lintels, and they were literally the children of Israel are brought out of bondage by the power of God and the hand of God, and not based on the ability of man. Moses led the children of Israel to Canaan, But because of their unbelief, they had lost their blessings of God upon them. And oftentimes unbelief will hinder us from moving ahead when God wants us to move ahead and enjoying the reward when God wants us to receive a reward and bless us for our service of him. After Moses, as we saw in Sunday school this morning, Joshua becomes the leader of the Israelites as they'll go into the promised land. The land would be divided among the people. And as they've gone into the land, Caleb is coming to Joshua and desiring his reward that was promised to him by Moses. The land had to be conquered and it had to be developed. Oftentimes we look at it and people say, well, Canaan is a picture of heaven. No, I'm sorry, my heaven I'm going to is not like Canaan. When I get to heaven, the home will already be built, amen. When I go to heaven, there's no enemies that I have to drive out. When I get to heaven, there's no battles that I need to win because the Lord Jesus Christ has done it all for me. Amen. So Canaan is not a picture of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the Christian life. And as we're saved, we're brought into new life. We have a new opportunity to live for God. There's many battles along the way. There's many conflicts that we have to overcome. But God has made great promises to us that we can enjoy the blessings of God if we'll wholeheartedly follow the Lord. Two times in this passage where we read, it is stated about Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And because of the fact that he completely followed the Lord and did not cower away, God would bless him and reward him as he would come into the land of Canaan. Notice, first of all, that Caleb rehearses God's promises to him in verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. And what's Caleb doing? He's reminding Joshua the promise that was made to him. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. And so he's rehearsing with Joshua God's promises that was made with him. And I think sometimes that as we live our life as a believer and as we strive to glorify God, I think sometimes we just need to sit down and remind ourselves, what are some of the promises of God? And the promises of God are sure, and they'll come to pass as God has so declared them to come to pass. And no greater thing that you can do than to embrace and hold on to the promises of God. I've often said throughout the years, when it seems like the way is hard, there seems like there's no way to go, then go through the Word of God, read the Word of God, and find a promise from God and hold on to that promise and remind yourself of what it is that God has said to you. And so he rehearses God's promises. First of all, we see this Caleb as the spy, because he says in verse 7 that in Kadesh Barnea he was sent out to espy out the land. So he had a responsibility to fulfill, an obligation to fulfill. He was sent out to spy out the land. In Numbers chapter 13, we read about this experience of Caleb. And of course, Joshua is also with him. But in Numbers chapter 13, it identifies for us each of the tribes and each of the spies that went out to spy out the land. And in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 6, it says, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Nephthah. And then you read on down through the passage, you find how God would use him to go in and see what was going on in the land. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And yes, there was a land that had great, large clusters of grapes. And yes, everything that God said the land would be, Caleb saw it firsthand when he was 40 years old. He saw what God had promised to him. You know, but the problem was when he went in, there was others who went with them. And there was those that came and brought back a negative report. And Caleb come back and he gave a different interpretation of what was seen there. And may I say, when we live our Christian life, there's always two sides to every story. And oftentimes people want to look at life through the prism, if you will, of negativism, or they want to look through the prism of the positive power of God that can work on our behalf. And oftentimes we don't strive to accomplish great things for God because we're so influenced by the negative things that people say. I have found this: anything you want to do for God and God lays on your heart, there's always somebody that's against it. So you might as well just decide either the Lord's in this thing or he's not in this thing. And then can you trust God or can you not trust God? And are you going to listen to God or are you going to listen to people? And so Caleb the spy, he had to deal with others. The others saw giants in the land. Matter of fact, they said that we were as grasshoppers in our sight. I mean, they were so big giants that were in the land. Matter of fact, in our text, it says that, wait a minute, where Caleb would take the mountain that he desired to have was named Hebron, but before it was Hebron, it was called Kirjath Arba, which Arba was the great man among the Anakims. That was the giants. And so the very land that Caleb's going to take possession was in reference to the giants that these other spies saw, and all they could talk about was giants when they came back. However, Caleb, all he saw was giants that were defeated. And as a believer in Christ, I think we ought to not just look at the opposition that is in front of us, but we ought to see it as being defeated and overcome. We do not have to be overcome by this world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And so we don't have to be intimidated by the great giants that are in front of us. But we need to have faith to believe that God can literally destroy the giants and the giants can fall. David stood before Goliath. What a great giant he was. But Goliath fell in the face in the confrontation with David. I just know this, that we must stand against those opposing us in faith, believing that they cannot stand. If God be for us, who can stand against us? And so Caleb saw the giants falling when everyone else saw the giants defeating them. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 33, it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean to tell you, in the great faith chapter, Hebrews 11, it records for us a great resume of victories that were beyond man's ability. And so these spies, they went in, they come back with reports, there's giants in the land. Caleb says, that's all right, I see those giants already defeated. The others that came back saw walled cities. All they could see was the walls. They couldn't see the value of the city because all they saw was the walls that were around the city. Sometimes we need to ask God to give us a vision of what he'll do with us in reference to the cities he wants us to reach for the Lord. You know, the amazing thing is they saw the walls around the cities. Caleb saw the walls falling down. And listen, there are multitudes of people in Toms River, yea, in Ocean County, that need to be saved. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's all kinds of obstacles to hinder us from getting them saved. But through faith, we can believe the giants are defeated. And through faith, we can believe that the obstacles and the walls that hinder us from reaching them can fall down before us. I just believe the God of heaven is still on the throne. And I believe that God can do great and mighty things through us. And I believe the greatest days in our history as a country, the greatest days in our history as a church can be in the future rather than in the past. And we can have faith to believe that God can overcome the giants and that God can tear down the walls. You know, it's amazing when children of Israel went into Canaan, the first city they came to was Jericho. And I'll tell you what, they didn't have any army weapons or anything else. They didn't have any means of being able to knock down the walls. But once they marched around the walls of Jericho, the walls of Jericho came falling down. And I think we need faith to believe that God can tear down the walls. Well, the others that went in to spy out the land, they came back with a report that all they could see was defeat. Pessimistic. Just couldn't see any way that they could succeed. All they saw was failure. May I say this? Don't look at your life and look at the opportunities God brings into your life by the prism of failure. I don't know why the first thing that comes to our heart, the first thing that comes under our mind is, I can't do it. Well, wait a minute. How do you know you can't do it? Why don't you trust God and believe God that he can give you the victory? That's what Caleb did. When they saw defeat, Caleb saw victory. I just believe with all my heart, instead of looking at people and saying they can't get saved, let's start seeing them saved. Why don't we start believing that they're going to get saved? Why don't we start living like they're going to get saved? When we talk about ministry, rather than being overcome and overpressed by the spirit of anti-Christianity in the world that we live in 2017, say, well, wait a minute, who can fight against the church? I know I was preaching this morning, I was giving those statistics on millennial generation and all this, that, and the other. I was going to mention this morning, you may have heard it, the founder of Facebook came out and said that Facebook is now the church. And so that the church is literally going to be out of existence because Facebook has taken the place of the church. Listen, the church was here before Facebook came here. And when Facebook is dead and gone, the church will still be here. And sometimes when we live, we hear these types of things. We say, well, wait a minute. We're just not going to be able to do anything. People just want to kind of worship God on their own in technology. Let me tell you something. Pray for a spirit of revival. Because if God brings convictions on the heart of a person, he'll come to church. He'll worship the Lord. We need to live in victory rather than in defeat. Well, these other spies, they saw problems. Well, let's start a bus ministry. Oh, but the kids are crazy when they come in here. Now, all we do is focus on the problems. And may I say, if you have a bus ministry, you're going to have problems. Amen, Dave? You're going to have problems. But can't we look past the problems to see the precious soul? We say, oh, we're VBS, oh man, Vacation Bible School. I mean, we're fixing things up, we're painting things up. You're going to have all these kids all over in here. There's going to be all kinds of, yeah, you're right, there's going to be problems. Whenever you get two or three people together, there's problems, amen? And especially if it's kids that's charged up on candy, amen? And so what do? We bring all these kids in here and we feed them all this candy and give them all these sugary drinks and we say, okay, sit down and be quiet so we can teach you. Then at the end of the day, you come to the director of VBS and you say, these kids are driving me crazy. I got this problem. I got that problem. The schedule's not working. Well, bless God, why don't you see them rather than a problem, but some soul that Jesus Christ died for. Everybody's coming back from the Canaan land, the land that flows with milk and honey, blessings abounding, and all they could see was the problems. What about Caleb? He saw the power. He saw the power. And he saw that no matter how big the problems were, there was a God who was bigger than the problem. And may I say, anything worthwhile doing for God is always going to bring along with it challenges. I've been saved for 35 years, I think it is, something like that. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. There is not one thing that God has ever laid on my heart to do that has not been filled with problems and difficulties, but it was the power of God that moved and rested upon me and those that we were involved in ministry with to overcome those problems. Our God is bigger than the opposition, bigger and stronger than the walls. We do not have to be in a spirit of defeat, because the problems are overcome by a God who is still the one on the throne and in control. And if God could do something in Caleb's life, bless God, he can do something in Mike Weigel's life in 2017. He can do something in your life in 2017. You say, how do I know that? Rehearse the promises of God. What has God promised you? So Caleb the spy. We see Caleb the servant in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. It says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Notice, first of all, when everyone else was coming back and complaining about everything, here is Caleb. Instead of complaining, he was processing. He said, let us go up. You know, here are the crowd coming back, and all they could do is bring a negative report. But the whole time the negative report was going on, Caleb was working it over in his mind. He was processing what all has taken place. And because of that, his response was simply, just let us go up. May I say this? If God is directing and God has showed us his promises and God has revealed there's something he wants to do through us, why don't we just get on with it? Just get on with it. People all the time, over years, I hear people say, well, I'm just trying to discern the will of God. Well, just get on with it. You say, well, I don't know where to go. Go somewhere. You know, I don't know what to do. Do something. It's amazing. You'll have people sitting in church and they'll say, well, I want to know what the will of God is. Well, you need to do something. Well, what? I don't care. Go out on the bus. Go get into Sunday school. Go work in the nursery. Get in the choir. Oh, no, I'm not going. I really don't want to do anything. Well, you're never going to find the will of God that way. Instead of complaining about life and griping and complaining about things that aren't functioning the way you think it ought to be functioning, why don't you just start processing through that? Wait a minute. God has given us some great promises, so let's get on with it and get it done. And so here is Caleb. He's trying to quiet the people down so they can get focused on going in and possessing the land. So instead of complaining, he was processing. Instead of doubting, he was confident. Because he says in verse 30 of Numbers 13, for we are well able to overcome it. And so here he is, instead of doubting, he is very confident that if God has brought them to that place of Kadesh Barnea to go in and possess the land, then if God has so done it, then he believes God. You know, simple faith is just believing God, what his command he has given to you, and just stepping out and watching it be fulfilled. And so instead of doubting, he was confident. You know, we don't have to be confident in ourselves, because as soon as we become confident in ourselves, well, we become prideful. But when we are confident in the Lord, that we really believe that God is in it, and we really believe that God is directing, then we can trust God. We don't need to doubt. We can have confidence that the Lord is leading and directing. I think all the way back in 2000, we were contemplating starting the Christian school, and we were in a deacon's meeting, and I remember we were all talking about it and praying about it, and I just didn't feel peace about it. I said, man, I just don't feel peace about this. I think we ought to wait, need to table this thing. I don't know why, but God just is not giving me peace that it's time to start this school. And praise God we didn't. There was some situations we had to deal with after that. But the amazing thing is in 2003, when God laid it on our hearts and we brought it before the church, we felt now it is time for us to do this thing. God is in it. God is directed. God has opened the door. When we have to have confidence to believe that God is doing, pressing on our hearts to do this now, we stepped out by faith. I always tell people come look at our school. I said, we decided as a church to start Ocean County Christian Academy with no teachers, no classrooms, no students, and no money. I tell every parent that brings their child to this school, I said, this is a work of faith. And I said, we decided in January in 2003 that in the fall we were going to open up a school, and we had nothing. And I'm going to tell you something. God has blessed and moved in a great way through Ocean County Christian Academy. And has there been problems and difficulties to overcome? Yes, there has been. But God is greater and he is bigger. Do we need to walk around always doubting and second guessing what it is that God? No, if God gives you peace about it, you press ahead, whatever it is, you press ahead in confidence that God is leading you. And everyone else, we're lacking confidence to go in and possess this land that was full of milk and honey. Caleb said, let's go on with it. God has opened the door. God has given the opportunity. So stop doubting and start walking in confidence. Why? Because he was basing everything on the promise of God. He said, Joshua, remember what God promised me? Remember what God revealed through Moses of what we'd be able to enjoy? I was 40 years old then, Joshua, and I'm claiming the promise of God today. Notice also, instead of crying over what he had lost, he looked to what he would gain. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 30, it says, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear unto you to dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. We know the story goes that when the Israelites came back with a negative report, that literally God said, because of your lack of faith and not believing me to give you the land, that you will wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And all those of that generation shall die in the wilderness and shall not go in to the promised land, save Caleb and Joshua. Now I'm going to tell you something. 40 years of Caleb's life was lost. 40 years is a long time. 40 years of enjoying the presence of the blessings of God in Canaan. Well, I wonder how many times it came to the thought of Caleb when he was walking through the desert. You know, there's great grapes on the other side of that river. I wonder how many times it went through his mind as he was wondering where he was going to get water to drink, that he thought just across the river, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to tell you, for 40 years, I'll guarantee you, his mind was refreshed on what he lost because of the unbelief of others. But he refused to cry over what he lost because he knew the promises of God was sure, so he was looking forward to what he's going to gain in the future. And may I say this, you may lose something right now, but what promise has God given you that you're going to gain in the future? We get so consumed with the losses in the present that we forget of the gain and the blessings of the future. And listen, it robs us of the joy of doing something magnificent and powerful for God. Hey, need to claim the reward. You might not get it right now, but somewhere down the road, God's going to bring it to pass in your life. Rehearse God's promises to him. Notice the second thing back in our text in Joshua chapter 14. He remembers his own commitment to the Lord. In verse 8, he says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, and I wholly followed the Lord my God. Notice it was a full surrender that he had. He said the others had made the report they brought just really defeated everybody. Their hearts did melt. You know, I've watched that over the years. Sometimes people just get so negative about things, gossip about things. I watch the temperature of the church. And I can sense the temperature of the church. And I think people start getting on fire, start getting excited about things. And then here comes old Mr. Negative. Here comes old Miss Negative. And they come in with their attitude, and they come in with their gossip, and they start complaining about this, and they start griping about that. And you know what I see? I see the temperature start to cool off. And Caleb said this, when everybody else cooled off, when everyone else developed a negative spirit, he said, I was fully surrendered unto the Lord. He had a full surrender. He held back nothing. May I say this? I don't care what's going on in someone else's life. You can still completely, fully surrender to your God, and God will use you in a great way. All those others died in the wilderness, but it was Caleb that went into the Canaan land, in the promised land, because he was fully surrendered to his God. Number one, there's just a thought here. It was positive compared to negative. A full surrender is positive being compared to negative. Listen, it's always easy to complain about everything and be negative about everything. But I'm going to tell you, it takes faith to be positive when nothing's going right. It takes faith to be positive when everything's falling apart. It takes faith to be positive rather than negative when you're going through the wilderness. But God gets us through the wilderness. God can provide for us, and God can bless us. And God rewarded Caleb because he was fully surrendered unto his God. Notice, not only was positive compared to negative, but it was personal and public. I mean, Caleb did not cower in the corner, even though the majority of the spies said that he was wrong and that they could not possess the land. You know, most of the time I've seen this in my life, the majority generally is wrong. You need to stick with God. You and God make a majority. You don't have to have everybody and his brother on board with you and in agreement with you. If you're in agreement with God, that's enough. Amos says that, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We need to just get in agreement with God, believe God, have a spirit of being fully surrendered to God, and I can be personally walking with God, trusting him, looking to the reward one day, and I can do it publicly, even though everybody was standing against me. I'm going to tell you, when I first got saved, my wife and I first got saved, our family were not all thrilled and excited about that. Our friends were not all thrilled and excited about that. When we left to go to Bible college, I can't think of one person that encouraged us to go to Bible college. Everybody we talked to, some of you are thinking, well, you're right. They were right. You shouldn't have gone. I really cannot think of one person who encouraged us to go to Bible college. Every person we talked to and said that I felt the Lord called me to preach, told me that that's wrong. God's not calling you to preach. You're too young in the Lord. You just got saved. God can't use you. You need to stay here. It's not time for you to go. I've had people, every church I've pastored, whether it was going out and starting Gospel Lake Baptist Church, or going and becoming the pastor at Dividing Creek Baptist Church, or coming here to be the pastor of this church, every church that I have taken and ministered to and worked in as the pastor of the church, every one of them, I had several people tell me it's not the will of God for you to be there. And oftentimes all we do is we sit around and we try to wait for the majority to come alongside and say, yeah, we're for you. This is what you ought to be doing. But when the majority says you shouldn't be doing it, if God is in it, then you do it. Amen. It was personal and it was public. Caleb remembers his own commitment to the Lord. He said, I fully surrender to God. Notice the second thing here. It was a faith surrender. In verse 9, Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. That promise to Caleb was something that was going to take place in the future. And if he was going to surrender to that inheritance, it was going to be completely, purely an act of faith, because of the fact it was not something that he was going to physically experience at that moment in his time. And actually, he did not know at that moment that it was going to be 40 years before he'd take that inheritance. So it was a faith surrender. What does that mean? It was a surrender of distinction. Because he surrendered to that, receiving that inheritance, when everyone else was unwilling to surrender for that inheritance. You know all 10 of the other spies, 11 counting Joshua, all of them, 12 spies, could have had faith to surrender, say that we're looking forward to going in and possessing that land, but it was only Caleb. He had a surrender of distinction. But he also had his surrender without distractions, because he says, Moses said, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Don't allow the distractions of this world to rob you of having a surrender of faith that is very distinctive from what everyone else is doing. You don't have to fit into the box. It's good for us as Baptists sometimes to get out of the box. You know, we're like the Jack in the Box. You know, pop. Amen. Pop. Pop out of the box. Amen. Get out of it. It's all right to be different. It's all right to be distinct in what you're believing God for. Get a promise from God and commit yourself totally to God and watch what God will do. Well, just think of Caleb. He would have never been able to claim the reward if he didn't have a faith surrender to his God. So he reviews, he rehearses God's promises to him, amen? He remembers his own commitment to the Lord. And the last thing is this, in verse 10, 11, he reviews God's present faithfulness to him. In verse 10, it says, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel watched in the wilderness, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. So he reviews God's present faithfulness to him. And what is it? First of all, God had kept him alive. Yo, he's 85 years old, and God has kept him alive. And so he reviews God's present faithfulness to him. Have you thanked God for your life? What is a man's life? It's but a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. Do you ever stop to think today, whatever your age is, you ought to thank God you're still alive. I think we take life so for granted. But we ought to thank the Lord. And Caleb, when he comes to a point of going in and possessing the land that God had promised him 40 years prior, his response is this: God's been good to me because I'm still alive. I'm 85 years old. Have you thanked God for eternal life? We need to be praising God that he's given us life more than here. I'm glad that life is more than what I have to face and deal with in this world. But God had kept him alive. But also God had given him strength. In verse 11, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And so he's 85 years old, and he says that he's able to fight. He's able to go out. He's able to come in. He's able to do all the things that were going to be necessary for him to be able to possess the land. And may I say this, that God always gives us a strength and ability at whatever stage of life you're in to be able to show you the way and protect you and enable you to fulfill his bidding in your life. So God had brought him every step of the way. And no wonder he rejoices in the fact in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain. I think at that point in my life, I'd be ready to say, okay, enough is enough. I'm here to get my inheritance. God has kept me alive all these years. God has shown me all these things. God has brought me across this Jordan. And I want the mountain that God had promised me through Moses that it would be an inheritance to my children. And so I'm here to collect my reward. And what happens? He is given Hebron And his children after him possess that mountain. Give me this mountain, he says. And so literally he wanted the best that God had for him. He wasn't afraid of the tough task that was before him. He wanted to fulfill the challenges in life that God had allowed him to fulfill. And now he's wanting to go ahead and reap the reward, claim the reward. May I encourage you with this? God has something he wants to do and will do in each one of our lives. But it does take time for us to stop and rehearse in our minds the promises that God has given to you. I remember I felt God call me to preach. I told the Lord all the way back there in 1979, I told the Lord, I don't care where you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. God, I am yours, and you've given me some great promises. My life is in your hand. Do whatever it is you want to do with me. I have no pretense. I have no demands that you do or allow me to be whatever it is that, humanly speaking, I can comprehend or put together. God, I'm just asking you for a promise, and I got a promise from God that he would provide for me, he would protect me, he would use me, and I just have been living in light of that promise that God has made me. I'm claiming the reward. Remember his own commitment to the Lord. If God has made a promise to you, then you fulfill your promise to him. My dad years ago, when I told him, I said, I feel like God's called me to preach. He told me, he said, boy, don't you play games with God. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if God has made some promises to you, you can believe him for those promises, but he desires and requires of you to make some commitments to him and follow through on those commitments. And then when the blessing comes, be willing to review God's present faithfulness to you. Every day, God is faithful to us. Every day. His mercies are renewed every day. And so every day, we ought to take some time and just evaluate the blessings of what God is doing in our life right then. I get up in the morning, I'll say, thank you, Lord. I'm alive, and I have another day to serve you. Then as you go through your day, as God gives you opportunities to minister his grace to others, thank the Lord for the opportunity. When you bow your heads at your meal, and as you get ready to eat, I mean, it's easy just to get into a routine of praying over your food. Lord, bless this food to my body, and thank you so much for it, and maybe a nourishment. Amen. And we have a tendency just, it becomes a rote prayer rather than sincere, God bless this food. Now listen, I've been in some places where I ate that when I prayed over my food, I was serious about it, amen? I think there's one place years ago, somebody invited us over to their house to eat, and oh my goodness, the place, and this was someplace other than here, so don't try to figure out who did this. And my wife and I went, and I looked at her, and she looked at me, and I'm like, are we going to eat this stuff? And I mean, the glasses were filthy, and oh, my goodness. And when we prayed, I prayed. And I said, Lord, bless this food to my body. Protect me. I don't want to get sick. Amen. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. We need to pray sincerely every day like that. Thank you, Lord, for I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my food. Thank you, God, for giving me my income, giving me my health. God, for giving me my clothes. God, thank you for all that you're doing in my life in the present. Because everything you're doing for me right now is according to your promises that you made to me. Thank you, Lord. I mean, Caleb had the right spirit about it, didn't he? And I'm going to tell you, God blessed him in a way those other 10 spies died in the desert. I don't know about you. I'd rather die in a land that's flowing with milk and honey anytime than dying in the desert. But God blessed Caleb in a great way, and God can bless us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're so gracious to us, Lord. I'm overwhelmed many times when I read of Joshua and Caleb. And I see just the magnificent, powerful hand of God moving upon them, fulfilling every promise, working in a practical way that brings glory to their God. Lord, I'm reminded that you do the same thing in our life. And we praise you. We thank you tonight, God. Send thy Holy Spirit upon us. Move upon us. Lord, show us great and mighty things that you can do through us. Increase our faith, Lord, to believe you for those things that are impossible to us. And God, may we just once again, over and over, live in light of the powerful grace and mercy of God. Blessing this invitation, Lord, if somebody's not saved, may they come and be saved. I believe with all my heart you can still save somebody even tonight, Lord. Bless each believer here today. I know, God, there's great things you want to do through them. Give them faith to see it, God. Give them strength to do it. And God, may you be glorified in our midst. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's